welcome back to the Phone Show Chat podcast. It's number 890, and it's Monday the 13th of April, and Joe is with me as usual. Hello, Joe.
Hello. It's going to feel a bit like camera creations today, isn't it?
It is, and tell us why.
Because we have the famous photographer Ian Bundy with us.
Oh dear. More waffling.
Well done.
That's what I do.
Welcome, Ian. Welcome. Ian is a photographer extraordinaire, and he's part of our Camera Creations podcast and MeWe group. So we were very keen to get him on to talk about lots of stuff to do with cameras in phones, while Joe and him do that, and I go and make a cup of tea. So just a few reminders before we get into anything, that the website that we hang out at is phoneshowchat.uk with two S's in the middle. The MeWe group is where we tend to hang out mostly, but it's not exclusive. And at tedsalmon.com you'll find links to all of our other MeWe groups as well, and our other audio podcasts. We've jumped around with our running order a bit, and we decided that the weeks that we have a guest on, we're going to immediately hand over usually to the guest, and the world is your oyster, Ian, and you can talk for as long as you want and for as short as you want, and we'll chip in where appropriate, but don't feel as though you're constrained with any time limits or having to get other stuff in that we want to talk about, because we can work around you. So you're the guest, and I hand over to you. What do you want to talk about?
Perfect. I guess it's time to go and make a cup of tea and go and get the duvet. as the guy said, Ian Bundy, I have been a long-time member of PSC. I think this is the first time I've been on the show post Steve, so
right.
Good to chat to you and Joe, Ted. Mm-hmm. But yeah, long time member of the forums and contributor to PSC Photos, and I also waffle on the camera creations. Job wise, and I guess I've been in IT for sort of 30 years. But now I've got this really cool role that I work as an independent consultant using something called Lego Serious Play. And I think I mentioned that last time I was on the show.
Right.
So it's really helping sales teams and tech organizations make better decisions utilizing workshops using Lego, which is really cool.
Right. I'm guaranteeing that even though you did highlight that, just briefly explain a little bit more deeply for those that can't remember what your role is there and how you do it and what you do.
Yes, yeah, it's definitely sounds like a made-up role, I've got to confess. And so I came into this about 10 years ago, where as I say, working in IT, you do a lot of meetings, a lot of workshops, and you don't really get everyone bought into it. Someone's on their phone or not listening. And I think it was the Winston Churchill quote that not all meetings are a waste of time, some are cancelled. I came across this methodology, which is a little bit like design thinking, which gets people to communicate by, they build models to as their answer to a question, and then you delve into it. But right. Where it's a quite unique is it's quite nice because it gives everybody a voice, so mm-hmm. everyone has to build and use their bricks, and it works really well with sort of very dominant people in the room, and it gives everybody a voice, so it works very well in sales. So I do that as an independent consultant now, and on my side hustle I also, as you mentioned, I do motorsport photography, so I've been doing that for the last 5 years, and photograph Formula One and swan around the world while my wife lets me do it, basically.
You can't have any time at all for doing Lego things.
No, but I've got to do things that pay money for me to go and swan, so that's the key.
Fair enough.
But I've always been into tech, and as I say, being in the IT industry, I've I've owned pretty much most phones all the way back to from the Symbian days and gone through that. I guess the sort of things I wanted to just really have a chat with you guys about is probably what I'm using now, how I got there. But also, as you mentioned at the start of the show, really photography on phones is a bit of a bag, and it actually got me into photography just using my phone as a camera. And then the sort of final piece is probably where I'm seeing now divergence away from everything going into a smartphone. I'm seeing it sort of stripping that out and putting it into dedicated devices. So that's a little bit what I was going to talk through.
Sure.
History-wise, I've very much flip-flopped between Apple and Android. I took the move the start of last year, where I took that massive leap to go Android full-time. So I got the Honor Magic V3, the folding phone. And I'm still amazed how thin it is. It's still quite a marvel, even though it's sort of a couple of generations old now. I know, Joe, you've got the V5 as well. You use that quite regularly, don't you, as a main phone?
Yeah, so my secondary SIM's in there at the moment, and yeah, I absolutely love it. It's such a great phone. It's a good all-round. It's not just the fact that it's a foldable. It's got decent enough cameras for me as well. I don't know what you found with the V3 cameras.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's I've taken, in my opinion, great photos with it, and I think if... And I guess that leads into a little bit to what I'm using now. I've got an Honor Magic 8 Pro on loan that I've been sort of using pretty much all the time now since, I think, probably a March time. So a good couple of months. And like most flagship phones, it's a really capable camera. And you can get results out of it quite easily. I do find the processing really heavy. There's an awful lot of over sharpening. And I guess the challenge I find sometimes is that the phone is doing more than you want it to do. So it is a matter of trying to flick into pro mode and try and shoot in raw to have a little bit of control of what the image comes out like. But
I think just quickly to step in, I think it's quite common with mobile photography, isn't it? The over sharpening is, most devices tend to do a bit of that. It's odd few that don't, but most do, I think.
Yeah, I think so. And I think even Apple is guilty of that as well, of over sharpening. But it does, as soon as you pixel peep, it's like seeing an AI image, isn't it? It looked good on the screen, but when you zoom into it, it looks a bit poor. But I do find that if you shoot in RAW, you can have the images the way that you want, and say it's, I know it sounds really bad, but it's fine. You can get out of it what you put into it. I think it is a good camera. It's got a good zoom, and as I say, if you shoot in RAW, it's got, I think it's 3.5 times
3.7.
Yes, that's it. And it is, and again, it's fine. You can have a play around with it, and I don't think it will let you down, basically.
I'm not as good a photographer as you, so I haven't really used the pro mode much. What's your thoughts on the pro mode?
Yeah, I think it's okay. I think it's like most pro modes. You go into RAW, you can turn up the brightness, you can mess around with the ISO and things like that. I would normally revert to try and shooting in RAW just so I can pull shadows back and I've got more control over the image, because the JPEG is the phone's version of what it thinks the image is, where the raw, when you shoot him raw, I guess it's like it's raw, it's not cooked, and the cooking you do is either that you let the phone do the cooking or you do the cooking in post-processing, really. So but I find it's good. It doesn't have, and I'll probably come onto this in a bit, but the phone I had before then was the Oppo Find X9 Pro, which is a real mouthful, and not even mentioning the Ultra now, but I love using that phone, and I found it a lot more intuitive than the Honor phone. But as I say, I think as a phone as itself, the camera is good, the battery life is fine, the screen's fine. My main gripe with Honor device is the same as with the V3. It likes to try and do battery management and puts apps to sleep, and I always find that I have to manually sync my watch and also open the Tesla app to open the car and things like that. But those are more Honor rather than the actual phone itself.
At the risk of moving away for a moment from cameras, I notice in the specs here, high performance, large amplitude stereo speakers, which apparently, according to Google, utilize a dual open chamber 12 by 16 millimeter design for improved bass and clearer, louder sound. That's the kind of thing that would turn me on, as you know, rather than cameras. Is that something you notice, or when you had time with the phone, Joe, briefly, is that something that is obvious and clear?
To me, yes. I thought the speakers are fantastic. I thought the 7 Pro were very good, but they're even better on the 8 Pro, because I compared them to the Pro Max in my video, because the Pro Max has got very good speakers as well. And yeah, they certainly get louder than the Pro Max. Yeah, go on. Maybe not as richer sound, but they're very good, though. Very, very good.
Have you noticed that, Ian?
Yeah, I think I haven't done as much research on it, but using it as a loudspeaker, I wouldn't listen to music on it, but it is loud enough for me to hear it, and I can watch a YouTube video and things like that. So, again, it's not bad. I don't think I would say I haven't noticed it being sort of stellar, but I guess my use case is that I normally listen with headphones anyway.
Okay, fair enough. Back to camera.
I don't know if you guys noticed, I got cut off for a bit.
Oh dear.
So I didn't hear most of what Ian said, but I'll listen back to what you think of the Pro Mode. Did you know that the previous models, they didn't have RAW on all lenses? Which the 8 Pro has, which is an improvement.
Oh, really? Oh,
okay. Yeah, so the telephoto, I can't use RAW on the 7 Pro, and it used to frustrate me a lot.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I didn't know that. No, I hadn't tried the first one. I say the first Honor phone I ever had was the V3, and super happy with it. One of the best features I like on it is the bedside clock mode. It's similar to what Apple do, that if you put it on a wireless charger, comes up with various sort of clock options and things like that, which is quite nice.
Yeah, I love that as well, yeah.
It's cool. But yeah, as a camera, I think you put work into it, you'll get some great results. And as I say, it's got a large battery, small form factor, everything's good on it. And I know that Honor are very much keenly priced, should we say, in the market. The one thing I was a little bit disappointed was that they have released a camera kit, one of these outrageous lenses that slots on it, but it's not coming to the UK. So I would have really loved to got hold of one of those and see what it looked like from there. So but maybe for the number 9 that comes out next year, maybe.
Yeah, they're probably testing the waters with it, perhaps.
Yeah, yeah. And I think with all the other Chinese manufacturers bringing out these outrageous lenses for their for their phones, that it's going to be a matter of time. Hopefully they'll bring it over to a sort of global release.
Yeah, it seems to be the trend, doesn't it, these camera kits?
Yes, yeah, and looking at the Find X9 Ultra, I saw an unboxing on that today, and it's just, the boxes get more outrageous every time, and there's this massive lens comes out, and it's like, wow.
I love the Hasselblad aesthetics on the Ultra. Yeah, it's very, very good looking phone.
It looks great, doesn't it? And from what I see, and you believe that, and again, if the X9 Pro is anything to go by, I think that was probably my favorite camera phone I've ever used, I must confess. But back to the Honor, I did take it back to the homeland. So I did take it to Shanghai in China, and I did some street photography with it. And I got some really nice neon night shots, really enjoyed that. The challenge was that I had half a day to go out and take sort of tourist photos, and I was sort of flipping between my phone and my camera, because I felt I needed to take some on the phone, because it was a loan device from Honor, and they were expecting me to post some images from that. But I've got to confess, from all of the images I took there in tourist mode, the one I took on the phone was probably my favorite compared to all the ones with my expensive camera. So who knew? And final bit on there, I think just going back to the Oppo Find X9 Pro, one thing the Honor doesn't do, it didn't give me the same feel as that. I can't put my finger on it, but when I use the Oppo and the modes on there, like the X-Pan, it just felt like a pleasure of actually shooting with it. It made me want to go out and shoot and have a play with it more than the Honor is just the phone that's with me and I'll take photographs with it. But it's technically very good. I just felt maybe the Oppo was a little bit more creative, engaging, and more of a sort of camera-centric than the Honor being maybe having all the top specs and just being maybe more of a for the normal user, as opposed to the type of user that I am, if I know what that is anyway. So
yeah, no, I think I can agree with that. I think Hasselblad's inputs, they're certainly more than just on the outside. I think they have had some input in some of the bits that go into it, and you're experiencing that, it seems.
Yeah, there is definitely something there that it gives you that pleasure of shooting back to. I was lucky enough to have a Leica Q3 camera, and the joy of actually going out and shooting with that was more of the hobby than the actual output, I think. And I've got a sort of similar vibe with the Oppo, but I'd be intrigued to see how outrageously priced the Ultra is when it comes out. I think is it the 21st or something?
21st, next week or yeah. Although the French have already got some information up on their website, which is quite interesting. Oh. Yeah, I had a little look earlier.
Be interested to see how much more it is and see if there are any incentives. So I've got quite a good incentive with the X9 Pro, which made me purchase it, and I managed to have a play with it for a few months and then sell it again without losing too much money on it. So it was a good experiment for me.
Nice.
Have you got any thoughts about the whole BBK group and all the rumours about OnePlus and Oppo and that they might be, you know, locking stuff back down in China at any minute? Or do you think that's all nonsense?
I don't know. I heard of the rumours of the OnePlus potentially going away. One of the highlights of going to being in Shanghai was to go in phone shops. I went to the Xiaomi shop and stuff like that, and it was a different world. I got hands on the Samsung Trifold, which was an amazing piece of kit, as well as the latest Huawei's devices. They're definitely a few steps ahead, I think, regarding the devices that they have, of how thin they are, and the processing that they have within them. But
I think it would be a shame if they draw in the bridge and keep it all in China, because from the Oppo phones that I've used, and the OnePlus phones I've used, and Realme as well, back in the day, I've not seen a Realme for ages, but I kind of like what they do, really. I quite like Color OS and the whole Oxygen thing. I think they do that quite nicely. So I think it would be a shame if they lob it all off. But the wise money is on possibly them withdrawing from India at the moment as well. So if they move away from India, then that could be the nail in the coffin. I don't know. I just think it would be a bit of a shame.
Yeah.
I think the pricing on RAM and stuff like that is having some impact on that, or in their decision making. It must be, mustn't it?
I guess so, yeah. Anyway,
it'd be a shame, because the innovation that we see from the Chinese manufacturers compared to Samsung and Apple is so exciting. Even if you look at the Nothing phone, it may not be your bag, but it would definitely makes you smile and glad that there are people out there making devices like that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, pushing the boundaries, particularly with this battery thing, the silicon carbon battery, which they're just going nuts with, aren't they? we have had batteries, huge batteries in phones, but they've always been from these brands like Doogie or Uli phone, or, you know, someone that you don't trust further than you can throw them. But widespread battery, big batteries. I'm always the advocate of Qi charging and wireless charging. But honestly, if I had a phone with a 9,000 milliamp hour battery that would last me 4 days, I think that would start to ebb away.
It's the quick charging alongside it as well, isn't it, Ted? So
yeah.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how long it takes, I guess, the likes of Apple, Google and Samsung to actually adopt the silicon carbon batteries, because you would think it was, especially with folding phones, it's got to be logical for them to go with that, because surely they do need bigger batteries in those devices. So it'd be interesting to see when they actually flip and say that they've reinvented it and it's the next new thing.
Will Apple suck you back in when they do a good folding phone, particularly if it's a passport size?
Interesting question. My wife normally has my hand-me-downs on phones, and she's been using my iPhone 14 Pro. And the battery has been getting slower and slower. So we updated her phone this weekend, renewed her O2 contract, Joe. So that all seamless, all good. So that was good. And then went into the Apple shop and bought her an Apple Watch for her birthday and stuff. But it is amazing. Her Apple Watch is... Her old one, I think, is about 7 years old, and she's been using that same watch for sort of 7 years, which is quite amazing. But you go into the Apple store and everything is seamless and it looks pretty, but I like to tinker and waste lots of my time trying to get things to work. So I think Android is pretty much aligned for me for the duration.
Sure. We're looking at your picture in the show, in the recording notes here, that looks, I think we probably saw this in the Camera Creations podcast, because you were drawing a comparison with this and something else. So I feel as though I've seen that before. Would that be right?
Yeah, I did post it on PSC Photos.
Okay.
I did take some comparison shots with the phone image. Again, it's a neon, very cyberpunk image of the neon lights, and super lucky that it was absolutely throwing it down with rain to get the reflections. Mm. But as I say, it was a lot of fun shooting in the pouring rain, trying to cover up my camera, as well as trying to get some shots. But yeah, very much enjoyed it. And and I think the night shots out of the Honor were really good. As I say, I didn't have to do too much post-processing or anything like that. It was just about trying to get down at a lower angle to try and get the reflections. And that probably links into, I guess, the main part of my sort of focus on smartphones is the mobile photography. Mm-hmm. And probably, as I say, I've been looking in PSC photos, and I've been posting there for years upon years. And it's sometimes it's trying to understand why people take a certain shot, and understand the intention, which is becoming sort of intriguing. That from a technology, it's less about the tool for me now. I think if you look at some of the images that people are posting on the group, I mean, Chris Clayton has got an iPhone 13 mini, and some of the shots he's taken with that have been on the group have been superb. So I'm probably less inclined to be trying to chase that latest Oppo Find X9 Ultra, because if you have the right intention, I think you can get some very interesting shots. It just depends on understanding why people are taking certain shots, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think with mobile photography, it's got to such a good place, and it has been in a good place for a long time now. I think you're right. It's become a tool for many people. I mean, you have mobile photographers now, don't you? So that purely use mobile.
Absolutely. And even looking at into where I do photography in Formula One, there's people working for Formula One that are just running around there with taking video with iPhones. Mm-hmm. And that they're employed by Formula One. There's all these dudes, I'm there with this massive lens, and we've got all these photographers, and there's this young kid with an iPhone who takes all of the video and all of the arty-farty stuff. And it's like, oh my God, I'm a dinosaur. But especially for video, they're very, very good. But it's looking at maybe the two types of the photography. I know we've discussed on the camera creations, it's a lot of people focus on that straight out of camera, no filter, and focusing more on the intent of getting that shot and seeing an image and taking that directly in the camera and uploading it. And then you've got the other side of it where you've got potentially this heavily processed image that I've taken a picture, but I think I can create something from it. And that's really where maybe see the intention from the other side of things. So I think it's really interesting to have a look at some of the photos on PSC photos and see why people are taking certain shots. And you have all of the shots of that mean something to you, of your kids and things like that, but more around people on their travels, and they don't have to go all the way to Shanghai or anything like that to get a fantastic photo. And it's just really looking at, for me, it's more the intention, understanding why that person took that photo, where their intention was to either process it post or very happy with that image is what they had in their mind when they took it.
or just tinkering around. A good example by Pete Warner, right at the top of the group, right now as I'm speaking, where he's taken a photograph and completely AI-generated it with Gemini into looking like an oil painting. I don't know if you noticed that go through earlier, but that's exactly what he's done. He's taken a photograph and with the, I suppose, the intention of then going and saying, I want to make this into an oil painting, and he's done it. And who's to say he's wrong or right?
Yeah.
I think that's the beauty, isn't it? I'm just looking at that now, and it's like, that could be an oil painting, couldn't it? I mean, I think that's maybe the beauty of the PSC Photos group, because there is so much diversity of different people taking different types of shots that you look at it and go, that's really cool. Yeah. Why didn't I think of that sort of thing? But yeah, that's really, really, really good. I hadn't seen that. I just looked at it now.
Mm-hmm. There is an argument that I think it's artistic. I like it a lot. But a lot of people don't like AI and say AI is not art. It's not, because it's doing it for you, isn't it? So there is that argument, but I'm happy to use AI myself.
Yeah, I think it goes back to that intention thing, that you take an image and then you've got to have some prompt, or I want to take this in, put this into a, make it look like an oil painting. So you still have that intention, I think, even if you're getting someone to create, or getting something to create what you want from that image. But it's still that, for the person's intention of this is what they got. Otherwise, or it could be completely different and go, oh, well, I've done that and look, it's come out really good. But and I've got to confess, I do that in Lightroom Mobile, that there is this mode where you can get it to pick a filter, and sometimes something comes out of that and you go, oh, that looks really cool.
On that note, I often like using the filters in Lightroom and then tweaking it slightly myself. But yeah, as a base, using a filter is quite nice.
Yeah, I always do this. But it also gets around that I don't think I've ever taken a perfect photo, and I've always tweaked something and it's amazing. One great thing is to go back at photos you took about 3-4 years ago and have a re-edit of them and see how you would like to see things now, which is quite cool. I've got shots going back using the, I think it was the Note 10 or something like that, and they're still in my Google Photos, and I can still get it into Lightroom and have a tweak with it. So yeah, it's cool.
I was going to ask you, in this image, this night shot you've taken, was that pro mode with the RAW, or was that a point and shoot sort of shot?
I think it was pro mode. I was toying around, so I was stupidly, it was throwing it down with rain. It was late at night. I'd walked for 20,000 steps, and I was lying down trying to get the reflection. So again, the intention was that you're not just standing up and taking a photo. You're getting down very low to get a different perspective. And I used pro mode, and what I did was I darkened the sky down, and I brought up in the middle of the frame, I brought up all the shadows, so it brings out the detail of the people walking towards me, as well as the neon signs, but also tried not to have it too saturated, if that makes sense. It was very neon, but it wasn't like fake, if that sort of makes sense.
Still so, realistic sort of looking.
Yeah. But again, I've done some very different ones. I posted some on Instagram today, which was finally got round to taking some pictures off my camera that I took on that time, and they are processed within an inch of your life, but they are very much around a theme of a very neon, so they're very, very blue, but they have a very different look compared to those. I will post one of those in there just so you can see the difference between the blue tone, the two different edits basically.
Okay, and you've got some examples you were going to just go through pick out some good ones from the group.
Definitely. So none really of my photos, because again, I was looking through today, wondering what on earth I was going to talk about. And I was looking on the PSC Photos group, and I saw the first one, which was from Rob DeLorean of the, was it Swadicote Fair, taken on his Xiaomi 14 Ultra. And I thought, wow, there's so much going on in that. I mean, this is definitely my photo. For me, this is my photo of the week, because there's so many stories within, to me, that shot. You've got a fairground ride, but you've got signs up of do not enter and things like that. So there's so much going right around that it could be the story there. So I found that really compelling. I don't know if it's been edited, but to me, it looks really interesting. And you're just waiting for someone to give you a bit of a description of what was going on.
Biggest,
I don't know what your thoughts are.
Biggest person, sit here.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, oh my god, what does that mean? But it just seems there's so much within that one photo, to me anyway.
He seems to be suggesting that he's used a starburst light effect and has made use of the variable apertures on the Xiaomi 14 Ultra.
Yeah, you can see that when you zoom into the actual you can see the starbursts on there as well, can't you?
You can see them on the end of the arm that's facing us. You can see them very clearly there, can't you?
Yeah. So they must have a much wider aperture for that. But again, for me, there's so much to see in that. It's something like if you saw that on a wall, you'd be standing and looking at it for a good few minutes to understand everything that was going on in the picture. But it really appealed to me, and as I say, it brings you that faith in mobile photography that there's so much you can do with what you've got in your pocket, basically.
Yep. Okay.
In complete different photo, I really liked Ian Watson's cat reflection. That again, really interesting. Must have seen the reflection, wanted to take the photograph. Again, for me, there's a story there, but there's also real intent into that picture.
Yeah, I like that one. Yeah, it looks like a double exposure, doesn't it?
Well, I was going to say, it might not be real, I suppose. It might be a creation, could it? Could it not be?
I mean, it could be, yeah.
But it is one of those things that makes you think, isn't it? It's back to your the more you look at it, the more you're thinking about it, and the more you would potentially want answers on it. It appealed to me anyway, and I thought it was really interesting. So,
yep. Cool.
I think the word reflection could be double meaning as well. So it looks like the cat's reflecting on something.
where his dinner is. Where's my dinner?
Yeah.
Okay.
But also, again, back to photos, there's a photo that Gavin posted of, I think, his two dogs. And for me, this is like such a joyous photo of two sort of smiling dogs. And he's using the Leica Let's phone, not envious at all that he's got that or anything, but for me, that's it's a really joyous picture. I don't know what you guys think. I mean, I'm not being negative, and I really desperately don't want to be negative, but I can see that where the phone is focused on the white dog, and that's 100% in focus, and the dog with the massive smiling face is a little bit out of focus.
Yeah, the depth of field is really shallow, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. But does it spoil the picture? It's still, to me, a really joyous picture, and maybe photos don't have to be perfect.
Absolutely.
We sweat this stuff, and it's those things that makes it okay to do that.
I think that's
perfect
one of
title.
The... one of the elements that makes it, I think, is what we just said. Yeah, definitely. Sorry, Joe.
I was just going to say, it's a perfect title, really, isn't it? With really his happy faces. It's a massive smile on the second dog, he looks like. You can see the towels wagging as well.
Yeah, it's again, if I showed this to my wife, she'd be cooing over it. So, but yeah, again, such diversity. But again, that it's prompts an emotion. And I think probably the last one, I love Chad Dixon's photos. He took a picture of the legend Ace Cath. And to me, this had intentions of what he wanted out of the camera when he took it, but also the processing he did on it as well. I think that's a fantastic photo.
Is it an ultra-wide image?
It looks quite wide, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Which would show the intention again, using that lens in particular.
Yeah. But again, I think it's like superbly processed. And again, you don't need to have your Lightroom mobile and pay for subscriptions and things like that. There's so many tools out there like Snapseed that can give you something like that. And you could definitely see something like that printed off and stuck on a wall or something like that, that someone has taken that with a £10,000 Leica camera or something like that. You could see that having that sort of thing in a gallery or something like that. So, but yeah, I love the processing on that. I thought it was really cool.
And Snapseed is quite good. I was looking at it today, funnily enough, and reflecting on how I never use it. But actually, there's quite a lot of tools in there. There's not a huge amount, but there's enough to be mucking about with, isn't there?
Yeah, especially for free. It's a fantastic bit of software. And you can process RAW files in there as well, which a lot of the free ones don't allow you to do. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it is really, really good.
Yeah, 100% agree. I used it all the time when a few years ago. One thing that is, I think when it first came out, everyone was very much into the HDR and HDR'd every image.
Yeah.
And it was the clouds were right. Oh my gosh! But yeah, I think there's so much in there for nothing. Ultimately, there's nothing. You don't need to have the best camera or the best camera phone. You don't have to have the best tools. It's really, we're so lucky these days that we've got all of these things that are really low cost of entry to go out and take some sort of epic photographs.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Okay. Well, I've asked you to provide us with a link to your Instagram account, as you've referred to it, so people can go and have a look at that. I'll put I'll put that link into the show notes as well.
Perfect.
Okay.
The last thing I was going to really talk about is, I don't know if this is something about me getting older or having a bit of an existential crisis, but I find myself tinkering with things and thinking things were better. I think this is a podcast that you would think about doing, Ted, better before. That we've combined everything into this one device, and this one device does everything. But back to the previous subject around intention, I found myself sort of splitting out a little bit from my phone now. And I've dusted off my old iPod, and I plug headphones into that and listen to music, and actually listen to music rather than listening to something and then something pops up on my phone or I get a notification and it brings me out of why I was listening to something.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have so much noise these days, from everywhere, that we don't get the joy out of what we used to. So I've seen myself sort of splitting away, that I've never been one to play games on my phone. I'm a avid gamer, but I bought a Nintendo DS And I regularly do brain training on it now. So that's a joy, because again, I'm not on my phone. I have 10 minutes dedicated to playing games. I've got a little Trumi brick, which is a one of these retro game players that plays ROMs. I have the key thing on there is that these normally come with thousands of games, but I listened to I think it was a podcast, and I just have 5 games installed on there. And one of those is Tetris, and another one of those is a Game Boy game. And it's one of these things that we have so much distraction. Removing some of that is, I think, has been quite good for me, because it makes me sort of enjoy music or not being distracted from playing a game because, again, a notification comes in.
There is a movement towards this. You know, we've spent quite a long time, really, since before Symbian days, of trying to converge everything, trying really hard to get everything onto one device and making it really convenient so you don't have to have 10 devices any longer. But, you know, what you just said is quite right. And we see... you know, the likes of the Japanese, the Far East teenagers, all moving in the same direction. I personally have gone back to vinyl records, for example. And we were talking on Tech Addicts podcasts yesterday about these companies that are bringing out tape players, even and just going retro. And clearly, you know, they're after money, that they think that they can sell those to the Generation Z, or whatever it's called at the moment, but you're coming at it from a very different kind of non-distraction separation angle, which I think is the healthy way to go. Joe?
Yeah, I was going to say that this has become a trend, hasn't it? All retros come back in, but I agree, having an AirPod separate to listen to music to is really good. And gaming on a proper dedicated gaming device is really good, because as good as phones are, having the buttons physically made for that purpose and only that purpose is better, isn't it? I do much prefer individual devices.
But you've got to carry it all with you.
That's the thing, yeah. So
yeah,
that's I'm like torn in that sense, because yeah, it is nice that we have everything on our phones. I literally use mine as a torch calendar. I don't bring my wallet out anymore. I mean, I don't go out of my camera enough. I do a lot with my phone.
A thousand and one things, yeah.
But I do also agree that having dedicated devices is also nice. I'm torn.
You got a big bag for all this, Ian.
Yeah, well, I mean, the stuff I've got is pretty little. I put a photograph in there that the retro handheld thing is very small. Again, it allows you to tinker. I installed something called Dropbox on it, which is an MP3 player, and I can plug in my Hi-Dis DAC into it and my headphones, and I can use that like an iPod. So it just I think back in the day we used to have to really work hard to get our tech to work. We had to put effort in to get things used to come with big manuals, and we had to sit through the manual to get something to work. I remember setting up a video recorder or something like that, and we've lost that because everything's just too easy. And so little things where you can tinker, I think is good. Next on my list is getting one of the iPod Classics and be able to do a mod on that where you can put flash memory, you could change the covers and update the software. And that's brought me, when you were talking about vinyl, I've gone back to my iTunes library that I probably haven't looked at for maybe nearly 10 years. And I've started ripping some of the CDs that I've got. And I've even bought 2 CDs this week. So it may not be the app of the week or something, but a couple of things that have come my way which may be of interest maybe to Steve. There's a guy called Richard Barbieri that's brought a new album out, Hauntings. He used to be in a band called Japan, very much in the prog rock style, but I bought his CD, ripped it, put it into iTunes, and it's on my iPod. And I found a brand new band this week, Magnetic Skies, which are very much a synth band. So I got their album again, putting it onto my into my iTunes and putting it onto my iPod, which is, again, maybe it's just I'm reminiscing of times that were more complicated, or I'm just getting older and more grumpy. I don't know, one of the two.
I think it is a trend, and it's nice nostalgia as well. Do you know what I think is a bit funny though? Is you spoke about the gaming handheld, and then you've managed to make it an AirPod.
So you've converted.
Exactly. So I clearly don't know what I'm talking about, but I think it's just that being able to tinker and everything not being too easy. We've made things too easy for everybody these days. So, my final thoughts is really that with all the talk of the 9X Pro Ultra and the ridiculous lens that will go on it and the even crazier price, I am tempted to have a play around with another Xperia. I think I was listening to one of the, I don't know if it was on the last show or something, where someone was talking about the focusing and the same sort of thing that you got from the Alpha camera, as well as the dedicated 3.5 mil shutter button, as well as the jack on it. I was back in the day one of the stupid people that bought the iPro, which I think was one of the first phones that had a 1-inch sensor on it. It wasn't great. I'm gonna have a look at that. I'd also like to have a play around with the next paper as well. I'm quite intrigued with that side as well. I've seen there is a device, the XT Ink, which is a very small e-paper display that you can read books on, but it's got a magnet on the back of it and it slots to the back of a phone, so it does go back a little bit. Probably, I know you had one, Ted. Was it the Yota phone?
Yota phone,
which had the e-ink display on the back.
Yeah.
So there's no new ideas. We just keep going around in circles, I think. So.
This one, presumably by Bluetooth. I was having a look at this earlier, and I wouldn't be at all surprised if it's very American. Some of the stuff that it shows on their carousel of what it does is very Americanized, and I think to myself, if you put one of these in the UK, I wonder how many of these services would actually be working, and if they did work, how good they'd be. But the principle I totally agree with, and dare I say, one of the very few first uses of MagSafe that I can possibly dream up.
it's got a use case for you.
There's actually something that I would use it for, apart from a car dashboard, which when I had a car might have been useful. But yeah, interesting, and it's only $69. Again, I looked earlier to see if I could get one in the UK, and they won't ship one to the UK. So I think probably you might, when you're going off travelling somewhere, you'll have to buy one then.
Yeah, they are on eBay. I think they're about 50 quid.
Right.
So, I think now I'm into these things to tinker with, and that would be next on the list. That's really sort of my sort of divergence. And I'm seeing that I'm getting more value out of doing individual things rather than doing everything all the time. It's splitting my time out a little bit more, which is to me a little bit more fun.
Sure.
And probably the last thing is to just talk about my best purchase of the last few months.
Yeah.
Apart from buying my Nintendo DS, which was I've never had one, so I really enjoy that. But I actually bought the Samsung Galaxy Buds 4 Pro. I had the 3s. I was sold on some of the reviews and saying that, that they are really, really good. But I have to agree with it. I paid full price for them. But they are really, really, to me, the noise cancelling is great. The sound quality is definitely a step up from the Buds 3. So they are definitely my favourite purchase in the last few months.
Cool. I had the Buds 3, not the Pro, because I don't like the in-ear canal thingy, as you probably know. But I have to say that the Buds 3 were really, really good sounding. I do agree. And if you're baked into the Galaxy system and you're Samsung, in the Samsung family, you know, even better. It all just works beautifully. And the app on the phone is really extensive. And it's great. So I'm sure you're right. The Pro versions are probably even better in terms of sound.
Yeah, I thought they were great. And I would say I had no buyer's remorse after that, so I was quite happy because I was going away to China and I was thinking I need to get some over-ear headphones for the flight and everything, and they were great and the battery life was great. So
cool. What you really want, though, is a pair of wired headphones and get away from the phone and plug.
I'm using wired now, and I did for me waffling on, but I did purchase the Nothing headphones. Have you seen those?
The
big square things that sit on your ears.
Yeah.
Which looks so cool, so retro, really cool. Yeah. They're really awkward. So they sound great, and they look great. And to make a point of people look at you when you're wearing them and stuff. But I think for me day to day, the Buds 4 Pro are the way to go.
What I like about them was the knobs and dials and switches, and they were covered with buttons that you could actually, you know, it just feels so retro, like picking up a Nikon F3, and you know what you're doing with your fingers on it.
Yes, again, really, really cool. And I know they've just released a sort of cheaper version as well. To experience them was good, but for day to day. But I'm actually using at the moment my AKG wired headphones.
Okay.
That I think came with my Note. It's got to be at least 10. These got to be about 10 years old. This is right. When they used to bundle headphones in with the phones. So.
Oh, you mean earphones, not headphones?
Earphones. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I noticed that in the image. Yeah.
Oh yeah, I see. So I see. I didn't notice them in the image. You're quite right.
The days when we used to get more in the box.
and so that thing that the Apple device is sitting on is a old-fashioned notepad which you use a pen with, is it?
Yes. I sort of skipped past that. Yeah, I've been very much using forever. Especially at work, using an iPad and an Apple Pencil and writing notes. And but since going sort of independent and not being working as much, I found that I like doing lists and to-dos and striking things off. But it's back to that. I've got a notepad now, a fountain pen, and I use that instead of any iPad. So I hardly use my iPad at all now. So I have a notepad, I have my gaming thing, I have my DS, my phone, and my MP3 player.
That's it. We'll have to get you onto whatever works. You're a perfect candidate.
Exactly.
Yeah, very good. Okay, was that the end of your list of stuff to talk about?
I think you've had enough of my waffling. But yeah.
No, not at all.
Well, I really enjoyed it.
If you've got anything else to say, then now's the time. It's been really interesting to get your take on all of that stuff. And we'll obviously make sure there are links in the show notes to all the things you've talking about, including your Instagram link, if you let me have it. And just to note that we won't go back now to do a photo of the week this time, because effectively we've got four in there, which Ian has highlighted. So that will be the photo of the week for for this show. Right, let's move on to a quick note from Steve Litchfield. He's going to be our only reporter out in the field there, and he's going to be interviewing Yuha Alakahu. I hope I've said that wrong. Yuha Alakahu.
Yuha Alakahu, yeah.
He's the guy. He's the guy that used to be tied up with the PureView stuff at Nokia back in the day. Anyway, he's Steve's got a meet up with him, and he's going to record it, and then in I think it's in early May, and we shall put that in the show, or if it's an hour long, we'll make it a special show or something. But we will put that in there. He's just got a new job, Yuha, with this company called IEO. E-Y-E-O, and I'll put a link to that in the show notes, actually, so you can see what he's doing, and they've got some interesting ideas about new sensor tech for cameras in phones, so that will also interest our people as well in the group. But yes, I'll make that available when it's when it arrives. So we haven't got an app wrap this week. Hang that. Let's jump straight to Joe Throws and find out what you've been doing and where your SIM card is.
So my SIM card is still in the on the Magic 7 Pro at the moment. However, I will be moving it to the Moto Edge 70 soon. Like you, I have not been as excited after having the signature. But I've got two events coming up this week. Tomorrow I'm going to an honor briefing. It was quite nice actually that Honor PR reached out and invited me, because I feared that I wasn't on the list anymore, didn't I? So yeah. That's quite good. There is some devices going potentially for testing, but apparently they're quite limited. So let's see if I can grab one. Right. I'll do my best to. But then I've got another Hero event, Honor event rather, but it's a Hero one. So there'll be other people from EE02 and 3 as well. That's on Wednesday. I'll probably hear the same stuff I'll hear tomorrow, but it should be quite good. That's a longer day thing, but I'll be giving my 7 Pro back, and I'll be seeded the 8 Pro, so I'll be reunited with an 8 Pro. So I'm very happy to have that. I know I said I wasn't going to buy any devices, but I'm getting increasingly tempted by two Ultras. One we've mentioned already, the Find X 9 Ultra, because I've heard so many good things about the Pro. Like Ian says, it's a great phone. A couple of my friends have it. One of them said today, actually, it's the best phone they've had for a long time, and they can't think of any real flaws in it, which is a high praise. Or the Vivo X300 Ultra, because I had the X100 Ultra and I really enjoyed that. So, yeah, I'm torn between the two. Let's see if I crumble or not, because I am tempted. Have you guys looked at them too? Which one would you go for, chaps?
The Vivo is the one with the gimbal built in, isn't it? Which is quite interesting. I'll put a link in the show notes to a comparison table at GSM Arena between the two. If you click on that, Ian, you'll be able to see what the differences are. They look in many ways very similar. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I've seen quite a few videos on the X300. It looks super capable. I'd be leaning towards the Oppo. I think just from past experience. They look great. And if there's any way that you could swing to get a photography kit for that, that would be awesome as well.
I've never seen a Vivo. I've never handled one or seen one on sale, I don't think, hardly. Joe?
Yeah, that like I say, I had the X100 Ultra, which I got unclassified, funny enough, and I really loved it. That's why I'm torn, because I loved that so much. And this is the first Ultra from Vivo that's gone global as well, very much like the Oppo Ultra. So, Vivo and Oppo would send them.
Yeah,
free. I'll take them both.
apparently, according to GSO Marina, you can buy the X300 Ultra for €10,000 on Amazon Germany.
Oh, yeah, I might just do that tomorrow, yeah. Maybe no, I'll go
you get
that
on 12 months free interest or something.
Yeah. But I know, I, you know, in terms of, you know, High Street, well, not that we've got High Streets anymore, Vivo is just something I've never really seen. But you've had one in your hands. Did the person you buy it from had to import it?
Yeah, it was a Chinese variant. Yeah. And I actually sold it to John Trimmer. He had a hands-on with it as well. He really enjoyed it, I think.
Right.
I think that was the only thing that, well, I couldn't keep it long-term was because of the fact that it was a Chinese variant. I couldn't link watches to it and various other bits. Yeah. So, but yeah, now this one's global. It's very tempting.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
There was something that caught my eye. Go on, Ian. What were you going to say?
So, yeah, I was just interested. Do you think any carriers will pick it up? Because I did buy my Oppo from EE. They had a real special deal on. But I just wondered if these that are coming, anyone would pick it up.
I doubt it. Yeah, I doubt it. You never know. I know O2 won't be doing any of these Ultras. Pretty certain of that. But yeah, maybe the other one, the others may do.
Is Vivo part of the BBK group? I think it is, isn't it? Yeah.
I thought it still was. Yeah.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So Vivo is alongside Realme and all those other things we spoke about earlier, OnePlus and Oppo. So they. Oh, and iQ as well. You see, iQ is something we've just never seen in the East, in the West at all, as far as I'm aware. That's the one that's spelled IQOO. And there's some interesting stuff coming out of there. But then there's lots of stuff we don't see, isn't there? Look at all those Sharp devices. I was looking at the new Sharp phone, which is only being released in Japan. And it looks really nice, but we don't stand a chance.
Because the optics look good on them quite often as well, on the Sharp phones, yeah. We haven't done the news section, but there is one thing that's caught my eye, and it's the Huawei Pura X Max. Because we both say we quite like the form factor of the Pura X, don't we?
Yeah.
And this looks like quite an exciting device. It's launching in China on the April 2020th alongside the Pura 90 Pro. And if you look at the image, I've put a link in there. It does look really nice. I would love to get hands on with that. But obviously we know what's happening with Huawei. We can't really get Google stuff on there, which is a bit frustrating. But
you can hack it,
the workarounds,
it looks like the Pura X original, doesn't it, in terms of form factor, and I, as we both said before, that looks just great, and we can't believe that no one else is doing it. Well, perhaps if they start rolling out more of them, somebody will. Honor, you know, handheld with Huawei still, allegedly. Why aren't they doing one? Because then we could get one.
Yeah, definitely. That would be nice if they did.
Perhaps we ought to ask the Honor Hero to sort it out.
Yeah, if we can find one, I'll get in contact with them.
Yeah.
I did see a video by Shane Craig where I think he was talking about the Pura X. But also, I think he has a couple of 3D printed mock-ups of the wide fold and also the iPhone fold, and it looks like that the market's sort of going that way to have those sort of passport style devices. So it'd be interesting to see what happens with Samsung and again if Samsung and Apple release it, then maybe we'll see more coming that way from Honor and people like that.
Yeah, possibly. I think it's a nicer form factor. I think it makes use of the fold better as well, in my opinion.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you guys think the folds are still very, very niche? I don't see many out in the wild, and I don't think they're ever going to get. I guess it depends. I guess the Apple thing is going to be the test of how many people get on the bandwagon. But
when Apple invent it, it will take off.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that I'm hanging on to my P40 Pixel Fold, the original one, because it's still got 2 years of updates on it and more security updates. And it's going to be the original of all this. It's going to be the one that you say, why didn't Google carry on with this form factor? But anyway, we've spoken about that before, and I do honestly think that everyone's going to copy it now, and some of them claiming it as their invention. It's just a perfect form factor in the hand, I think. And when you want it to be something more, you can open it up. The flip phone, going back to your question, Ian, the flip phone, I think, is Motorola have made that incredibly popular, and I don't think that's going to go away anytime soon, because they've sold humongous numbers of them, more so than Samsung have with their flip phone. So between Samsung and Motorola, they've made that a thing, and it doesn't suit me personally. I mean, it doesn't suit Joe personally, but you can see by the numbers, you can see that it must suit humongous amounts of people. And dare we say, females with purses and handbags. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But that seems to be the what they're after. The folding phone itself, laying aside what Apple are going to do and what everyone's going to do this year, the figures, Ian, show you that they're not at all up there. That, you know, the market share is like about 1.5% of all phones or something. it's tiny. So you could say that was a huge failure, and most people that have them are geeks and nerds and businessmen. The flip phone is the thing, and if this Pura X thing can come and bridge that gap, I think that could be a winner too.
Yeah, I think so. I really think so. And what, going back to what you were just saying as well, with what Moto's done, for them to actually take some market share in the US, that's pretty big as well.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, it shows that form factor is popular.
Exactly. Have you ever had a flip phone, Ian?
I haven't, no. I've played around with them. I'd like to try one. Because I do wonder what I'm going to do with the V3. Much as it's great as the camera is good and I like the folding bit on it, but I do live near the beach, which restricts me a little bit. So, but yeah, so I'd like to try one. Again, it would appeal to me, that Pura sort of, or the Passport side of the original Google Fold, but again, they're not as durable, and I don't think they're ever going to be as durable as a slab, but maybe that when, as you say, Apple invent it later this year and everyone gets on the bandwagon, that everyone's going to want one, and then it'll drive it, but also
they'll do it properly. And you'll be able to take it to the beach with you.
Cool. Don't tell anyone I've taken this to the beach anyway, but don't tell anyone in case I want to sell it on PC.
Yeah. There you go. Anything else from you, Joe?
No, I don't think there's much else from me. I think I've been too busy watching boxing and drinking. as we spoke of.
We do have a bit of crossover with this Edge 70, though. And
yes.
Just to quickly mention that, I hope Wilkin Lee isn't listening, but I'm not particularly impressed with it. And I think one of the reasons is because I've got the signature here, and this Edge 70 feels like it's overpriced at 700. quid. Well, actually this week it's on Amazon for 500 quid, so 500 quid feels like it's probably a better deal. If you're talking about RRPs though, surely paying an extra 200 quid you get an awful lot more with the Signature than you do with the Edge 70. I'm not saying the Edge 70 is rubbish, it's not, but it's being sold on the back of this thin, the thin is in thing.
Yes. Yeah.
And, you know, okay, they've done a good job with that. It's very kind of L-shaped because the camera island still sticks out. It's got lots of storage and RAM and, you know, wireless charging. There's no always-on display on it, incidentally. And, you know, that is just like a miss for me these days, I'm afraid. But laying that aside, the screen is really nice. It's bright and colourful. And laying aside also the ton of bloatware that's been put on it by Motorola, thank you. and the whole Moto AI thing is exactly the same as any modern Motorola phone now. So there's nothing new in that respect. The point is, I think, that if you're going to spend 700 quid on a Motorola phone, just buy the Signature. I don't really think that it's worth the £700 to get something just because it's thin when it's got so many shortfalls on the specs of the Signature. I just think that they pitched this wrong and the timing's wrong, and they just I don't get that so many people are going to want to buy this just because it's thin. Do you think?
I guess the argument could be said for the Edge phone from Samsung and the Air as well from Apple, because for your money you can get a better device from both brands.
So
I guess Moto are pitching this as competition to them, them devices, really. Overpriced thin phone, yeah.
Andy, we'll give Andy Morris the last shout on the topic, though. I actually like my Edge 70, says Andy. It's a nice second device to my iPhone. There you go. I use it for work stuff. It seems to work really well. I removed all the bloatware and complained to Motorola about it. The thin and light is good, as is the battery life. At the end of the day, though, for a secondary device, it does what it says on the tin. The only downside is Motorola's slow update processes for phones, which is annoying, which we've been banging on about for years. And this one doesn't get the same deal as the Signature in terms of going forward and numbers of updates either. So I think it gets 4 and 6 and not the 7. The Signature so far is the only one that's going to get the 7. Be interesting to see what they do with the Razr Fold in terms of how many years of updates, won't it?
I suspect it will have the 7 because it's such a high price flagship. Because does the 60 Ultra get 7?
No, not at all. It gets 3.
The Signature is the very first.
Three OS updates and 4 years of security for the 60 Ultra, the Razr 60 Ultra. That's terrible.
That's really bad. For the price. The price that came out at, exactly, as well.
Exactly. Yeah. So you can switch back on now, Wilkin.
Yes. We do still love Moto.
Yeah, we do. And I love my Signature. I think the Signature is fantastic. I was listening to it today with the bottom and top firing speakers, which actually do come out the top and bottom and not using the earpiece. And the stereo separation on the sound is great. I know I keep banging on about sound, but there it is. Talking of which, my SIM card currently is in the Pixel Fold because that being the reason, really, which is that the sound from that device is just so good. Right, very quickly before we go, let's jump into the classifieds. And our MeWe Classifieds group is a closed group, so if you want to join, you'll need to email me and we'll talk about it. But what I thought we'd do this time, there's not a huge amount in there, but if we jump in, I was going to say we'll jump in and have a look, but MeWe's down by the looks of it. Brilliant. Can you get to MeWe, anyone?
I tried on my laptop, it didn't work. Let's have a look on my phone.
Phone, I think it works.
I think on mobile it's working, but not on web.
Let's see if we can get to it. MeWe. Oh yeah, I've got it on. I've got it on web. Right. Okay. So classifieds. You had one big one, didn't you, Joe, to highlight?
Yeah, my friend's Fold 7 still there. I think he will take less money for it because He had a 750 offer. He declined it, or he countered it. And recently I said to him, I don't think you should have done that, mate. I think you should have took it. And he goes, yeah, I should have. So I think he will offer less money. He's open to offers now, especially as time's passed. So, yeah, check that out.
So that's it's the Black Fold 7, 512 gigabytes.
512, yeah. And he's actually throwing in Galaxy Watch 6 Classic, which was actually used to be mine.
Right. Okay.
He's throwing that in free. It's got a few cases, screen protector.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few dinks on it, which he's photographed, so you can see they're quite minor cosmetic dinks, but it's a fabulous device, isn't it, the Fold 7?
Yeah,
it's 512 gig of storage as well.
Yeah.
The other one I wanted to highlight is probably stupid for me to highlight because I'm thinking of selling mine, but there's a sealed OnePlus Watch 2 in Nordic Blue for £60, and it's such a great watch. I think it's a really good watch, so I'm surprised that hasn't sold already.
Yeah, very nice. It is a nice watch. I was going to just mention the Motorola Edge 50 Pro 512 gigabyte version. I had that device. In the end, it went to Aidan Bell, and he's still using it. And it is a nice device. He wants £199 for it, but I don't know if he'll take an offer. This is John Mason. But it is a really, really nice device. The only thing missing is a whiz-on display. anything jumping out at you, Ian, or have you not got there?
No, I've got there. I didn't see too much of the, I guess, the things I was maybe interested of sold. I was interested to see there was a Ross had a V5 for sale, which made me cry a little bit because of the price of it compared to what I would get for my V3. But but yeah, I'm with you on, I might be tempted to have a look at one of those OnePlus watches and have a play. And again, £60, it'd be great to have a play with it.
Yeah. There's an Oppo X9 Pro on here as well, which I'm not sure. Oh no, it's wanted. Sorry, forget that. It's a wanted and not a sale. there's a remarkable, oh no, that's been sold as well. In fact, it's quite a reminder to everyone, when you sold your stuff, delete the thing from the group. Because once you've finished off with the person you're selling it to, of course. Anyway, there you go. A classifieds look on the fly there. As I say, if you want to join in with that, then email me and we'll talk about it. That's about it, really. Thanks very much, Ian, for joining us. And hopefully we will chat with you on Thursday this week, because we've got another Camera Creations podcast coming. Are you around for that?
Yes, definitely. I think we were going to do some critique, and I've definitely got some images I'd like you and the guys to have a look at as well. So, yeah, looking forward to it.
Cool. And we'll get you back onto PSC sometime in the coming months to see what you're up to and catch up again. So thank you for joining us. Phone Show Chat is UK is our website. Two S's in the middle. Don't forget, if you want to buy me a coffee, it's at paypal.me/TedSalmon. And if you want to buy Joe a coffee, it's at paypal.me/Hickey85. MeWe is where we hang out all the time. You'll find at PodHub UK all the links to all the other stuff we're associated with. And if you get lost, then you can go to TedSalmon.com. You will find there links to all of our podcasts and all of our MeWe groups. So do come and join us and have some fun. I don't think we've got a show scheduled for next week, have we, Joe? Oh, yes, we have. It's our Ted and Joe Go Live next week. So we are going to try something a little bit different on that one, aren't we? But we won't spoil it now. But yes, we will be back in 7 days with show 891, and it'll be a Ted and Joe Go Live. So as usual, I'll put the link in the MeWe group to anyone on that day that wants to jump in and join us. And I'll explain how to do it again when that comes around. So we'll see you then. And we'll chat. Well, hopefully we'll chat to you then. So thanks for listening. We'll go away and leave you in peace. Thank you.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers. Bye.